short time as God enables us, and we turn to the second passage of Scripture we read from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and chapter 6, and the words of verse 18, Ephesians 6, 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Clearly, the Apostle Paul values prayer. And prayer, from Paul's perspective, is absolutely pivotal. It is the linchpin of his ministry and his mission work. And as we read of Paul's emphasis on prayer, we recognize too that Spirit-fueled prayer, Spirit-driven prayer is Paul's great emphasis. And we see this clearly in verse 18. These words, in the Spirit, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So the doctrine of the Holy Spirit saturates all of Paul's teachings. Of course, Paul is being led by God the Holy Spirit. He's under the superintendence of the Holy Spirit in his writings. And we see that Paul recognizes the importance of God's Spirit in every aspect of the Christian life. As Paul begins to emphasize the need for the whole armor of God, and then you will notice that before referring to the armor and the various component parts of the armor, he urges the believer to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What is the power of his might but that power, that mighty power that we all crave and require in our Christian lives, the power of God, the Holy Spirit. And as we begin to appreciate Paul's perspective on prayer, then we, as we go through the various component parts of the armor, it's as if Paul is stressing how crucial, how critical these parts are. And yet, as he concludes this letter, prayer seems to be that final point of emphasis that he is so anxious to stress. Praying always, he says elsewhere, pray without ceasing. But he himself asks for prayer as he serves the Lord. As for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. But he himself, of course, is a prisoner, and although he's an ambassador, although he's in chains, yet he still recognizes that whilst he is bound physically, he's by no means bound spiritually. He remains an ambassador for Jesus Christ, and he's asking that he might speak boldly, even within his prison cell, even within this confined environment where there's so little scope to reach out. Yet we know that Paul was actively witnessing to the prison guards and to others within the vicinity, and that knees were bowing in tongues, we're confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. So tonight I just want us to reflect a little on the ministry of the Holy Spirit with respect to prayer. When we reflect back on revivals of past days, we pray for revival in the present, and yet many have given up praying for spiritual awakenings such as the darkness that prevails. Many in our day and generation consider revival in the past tense. They consider it to be historical. So they look back, and some who experience revival do so with an element of nostalgia. And they're almost sentimental in their thinking, wishing that they could relive that experience, wishing indeed that they might even go back in time and be a part of it without recognizing that revival can and is happening in the present tense. In other parts of the world, God's Spirit is at work. In the more closed countries of the world, like North Korea, God's Spirit is moving. God's Spirit is hovering over such places. And many are witnessing for the Lord in very trying and pressing circumstances. And yet all it takes is for God the Holy Spirit to breathe, and when the breath of heaven enters a community,